morning, Devin. Welcome to part three of our series, The Greatest Reset, How Jesus Changes Everything. You know, if this is your first time joining us, welcome, first off. We've been looking at how to have ourselves reset from the inside out. Beginning 3 weeks ago with asking Jesus to reset our hearts, first and foremost, and then asking him to reset our minds. That was a couple weeks ago. Last week, of course, we had our financial seminar that had been booked prior to this series, and so we had to have a little bit of an interlude there. Did everybody enjoy that, though? I thought it was great. Great instruction, great teaching, and a great opportunity for each one of us, and so thanks for taking part in that. Today, we're going to continue our series and look at the important aspect of resetting our voice. Resetting our voice. We've learned that to reset something is to restore it. Restore it to its original design and intent. To get something back to its original purpose. So what does it look like then? Or perhaps more accurately, maybe, what does it sound like? In this case, for our voices, our words that we choose to speak to be reset. To be reset so that our language, our words actually honor God. I want you to look at the video on the screen for a moment and then we'll dive into it.
My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will declare your righteousness, yours alone. Psalm 71:15-16. You can tell a lot about a person by what they talk about. I mean, people all around us, they're talking about sports, they're talking about movies. Maybe they're talking about money or work or stress or fears. Maybe they're talking about family. I mean, think of all the things around you that people talk about all the time. The question here is, what do you spend your time talking about?
All right, the thing is, when we are called to reset our voice, we're called to talk about God. And that can be risky, can't it? We've tried it maybe we haven't tried it before, but we recognize that we're not sure how people will take that, right? And this is why we need Jesus actually leading us. May we never go where he has not led us. But equally true is this. Wherever he wants to lead us, may we always obediently go. Because nothing is riskier than letting Jesus control our words. But nothing is more satisfying than speaking up for him. As in our first two lessons in our series, we'll find our text today in the Bible's book of Psalms. Many scholars believe that Israel's famous shepherd King David wrote this song in his old age, as he reflected upon how God has always been with him and always was working for him. Let's look at it together. In fact, let's read it aloud together from the screen today. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how to relate them all, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. That's a good use of your voice, right? Isn't it powerful when we all use our voices to proclaim the word of God together? My mouth will tell of God's righteous deeds, he says. And the passage says, goes on, says, of your saving acts all day long. All day long. That's a pretty noble goal, isn't it? But one that seems to me would be maybe even the challenge for the holiest, most righteous people that we might know. Think of it. All day long, every time you open your lips, what comes out is something God-honoring. That and nothing else. Seems inconceivable, doesn't it? Is it even possible that each time you and I speak, that we could talk not about the weather, not about the Oilers, or about politics, but about God, about Jesus, about the stuff he's doing in our lives? Who does that? Who lives like that? I don't know many people that talk like that. And these are good questions. You want to know the abbreviated version of who the people that talk like that? It's simply not many. There aren't a lot of them, right? Not a lot of people do this. Not a lot of people live like this, especially if they can't get their words out straight. And in fact, research actually shows us that this is a very rare thing. A recent study reported by Scientific American revealed that in general, we spend, as people on average, at least 60% of our conversational time talking about one thing and one thing only. And by the way, it's not Jesus. Not about God, not about spiritual stuff even. Anybody want to hazard a guess as to the one thing we spend at least 60% of every day talking about? Ourselves. Yeah. It's crazy, eh? Ourselves, 60% of every word we speak is about us. That's a lot of self-disclosure, folks. What's more, when the communication happens on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, and all the rest, the number actually jumps to 80%. It reminds me of Bette Midler's line from the movie Beaches. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? And it would seem that the church might be included in that statistic, folks, because I found a video advertisement that I am going to show you this morning on the screen. Yeah. Just in case you're wondering, that was a parody, okay? Don't worry, I don't think Cole will be singing those songs next week, okay? The point is that as people, folks, we are obsessed with ourselves. The study I mentioned showed that when people talk about themselves, this is interesting. It says two regions of the brain that had never before been associated with self-related thought or communication lit up like Christmas trees during their experiment. Anybody care to guess which two regions that they were associating with? The regions that tell us this is pleasurable. I like this. It gave us pleasure. It gives us pleasure to talk about ourselves. Previous studies had determined that these two regions of the brain only lit up when linked to stimuli such as sex, cocaine use, or the ingestion of really good food. This tells me that this is going to take some serious effort if we hope to talk about anything else besides ourselves. Because there's a huge chasm between My mouth will proclaim your righteous deeds, O God. And let's talk about you. What do you think of me? But the good news for you today is that the serious effort that's required, it's already been made. It's already been taken care of. It's done. It is finished. And we can reap the benefits of that investment so many years ago, right here and right now today. Because while it's true that statistically not many people spend their all day, every day words proclaiming the goodness of God and the good news of Jesus Christ, some do. Specifically, those who've already had a reset of the heart and a reset of the mind. So if this is your first time joining us in this series, I highly encourage you to go onto our YouTube channel and watch those first two, because they help set this these final two together for us to be able to do them. Because without Jesus resetting your heart and resetting your mind, it'll be impossible to reset your voice. But when your heart has been oriented towards Jesus and your mind repositioned upon his truth, then what naturally happens is a reset of what we say, a reset of the voice, that a voice that can't help but talk about the good things of God. Matthew was one of Jesus' original followers who recorded Jesus teaching this. He said, "The mouth simply shapes the heart's impulses into words. And so the good man who's filled with goodness speaks good words, while the evil man who's filled with evil speaks evil words. I tell you this, on the day of judgment, people will be called to account for every careless word they have ever said." You might want to highlight that one. "The righteous will be acquitted by their own words, and you evildoers will be condemned by your own words." Folks, I really wish I could tell you this will be easy and give you all the kinds of examples of, you know, how this has worked and how I got this right in the past. But the reality is that it's hard for me too, for all of us, everyone. There have been times when I have shied away from speaking up. And there have been times where, in spite of my trepidation, I've taken that step of faith and reached out and addressed somebody and turned the conversation towards things of faith. The thing I've come to realize is that the more I took those steps of faith, the more opportunities God gave me. And the more I speak up for him, the more I've seen his miracle power come to play, to heal people's hurts, to turn them towards faith. Jesus said that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, right? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So it makes sense that when your heart is full of Jesus, what's going to come out? Yeah. Where he is, his saving power is as well. And so we see this powerful progression happening through these three resets. That when we trust his truth, we trust truth, which is what we looked at week one, that he is true, he is real, he is true, we can trust him. And when we take in that truth, the truth of our second topic, his word, then we inevitably, when we're filled with all of that, filled with his truth, filled with his love, we inevitably will start to talk about him. Talking truth. Speaking truth. We'll begin to talk less about subjects of the moment. Food, clothing, weather, sports. and we'll move into subjects of more eternal consequence. We'll start talking less about the hopelessness of our situations and more about the hope giver. Less about what's trending and more about the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the thing is, you know, you're not contriving these situations or these things, you understand. It's not about, you know, just trying to live in a fantasy world, about, you know, being in this delusion. It's just that the more that we choose to press in to our faith in Jesus instead of our faith in ourselves, and the more we saturate our minds with God's truth, the more we find ourselves right in the middle of Psalm 71 that we read already. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how to relate them all, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts. Sovereign Lord, I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Who does that? We do. We do. It's all about seeing an opportunity to speak truth, to seize that opportunity before it's gone. You know, Jesus was a master of doing this. We see it over and over again. He did what he tells us to do. Speak truth, speak love, speak kindness, speak forgiveness, speak restoration, speak healing, speak peace, speak joy, speak hope. Did Jesus do those things? Absolutely. To the sick woman, he spoke healing and peace. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. To the tomb of a dead man, he spoke restoration. Lazarus, come out. To someone seeking truth, he replied, I am telling you the truth, Jesus replied, that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. To the inquisitive lawyer, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. To the weary, he spoke rest. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. To his followers, he spoke hope. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am. I could go on and on. Example after example of Jesus speaking truth, peace, hope, love, life. Do you think these messages were powerful back then? Sure they were. Do you think they're still powerful today? Maybe more so. And we get to speak them. Is there anything better than that, to be a spokesperson for Jesus? I don't think there is. Let me give you two quick takeaways from what we've looked at today, and then we're done. When Jesus resets our heart and our mind, when Jesus, God's Spirit, dwells within us, he will start to draw people to himself through you and me. When that happens, the first takeaway is this: don't be surprised about it. Don't be surprised. Expect it. If you've asked Jesus to reset your heart and mind, don't be surprised when you're given an opportunity to speak up about him. If you have surrendered yourself to the leadership of Jesus, those opportunities will come your way. Mark my words, friends, those things are coming your way, and probably more so this week because I'm talking about it. You're welcome. Which leads to our second takeaway. Do it. Do speak up. Do speak out. Do take that step of faith. When those opportunities to speak up about Jesus happen, don't be shy about stepping into them. The reason they're there is because he's already enabled you to take care of that situation. He's already prepared that person's heart. Don't be surprised when you're given opportunities to speak up about God. And don't be shy about seizing those opportunities. Whether you're asked to speak up on a flight and you're exhausted and in need of a nap, which has happened to me more times than I care to admit, or when they happen in the hallway of your school or maybe of your office building or at the family's Christmas dinner or when you and your neighbor maybe are out shoveling the walks at the coffee shop, grocery store, a hockey game. Seize every opportunity to point people to real life. If they're going through a hard time, just ask if you can pray for them right there on the spot. Invite them to church. Talk it up. One of the most prolific church starters in the early church was a guy named Paul, we talked about lots of times, right? Who wrote to the early church that was in Ephesus. He said, be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but like wise people. Make good use of every opportunity you have, because these days are evil. You know, a couple years ago, the band A Great Big World released a song that was an unexpected hit, Say Something. It netted them instant fame, a Grammy Award, and a whirlwind tour that included appearances on pretty much every morning show and late night show on the air. I'm not sure of the band's spiritual beliefs or whether they intended to put together really a theologically sound lyrical expression, but that's exactly what they did. The song reflects what could be one of a million defining moments in a relationship. When the stakes, the expectations, and the tensions are sky high. And one person in the relationship shuts down. To which their partner responds, say something, I'm giving up on you. You say you care about me. And yet now when everything is on the line, you say nothing. Say something, anything at all. Let me know that I matter to you. Say something forgiving. Say something caring. Say something encouraging. Say something loving. Say something hopeful. Say something, anything, please. God has placed people in your lives for a reason. In our lives, all of us, there are specific people there for a specific reason. And that reason centers on sharing who God is, what he's done for you, and what he can do for them. His grace, his love, his peace, his joy. I wonder who in your family, in your circle of friends, your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, who might need a word of encouragement this week, a word of care, a word of hope. Who is begging you, even if silently, to say something to them because they're ready to give up? Can I encourage you to simply seize the opportunities you're given to say something worthwhile today, this week, whenever an opportunity arises? Let's be known as people with wise words to say. Amen? God-honoring words. Words that aren't perfect, but are honest and heartfelt. Now, if you're here today and you know that you need Jesus to reset your voice, if you long for your words to carry his wisdom and his power and mean something for both now and eternity, as we've talked about already, every other reset flows. This all happens only from a reset heart. That's where it has to start. So if you want to take that step and you're ready to surrender your heart to Jesus, to ask him to reset it so that he can then reset your mind, reset your language, your words, I'm going to help you do that by leading you in a short prayer in a moment. And as we all bow our heads together, if you'd do that with me, please. If you'd like to pray this prayer along with me, if you've never had God reset your heart, you've never asked him to lead your life, to reset your life, and just pray along with me. But before we do that, I just want to know who I'm praying for. So if that's you, could you just quickly raise your hand? Thank you. Just pray along with me silently, and God will hear you. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been only thinking of myself and doing things my own way, and I'm sorry for that, God. I now know that you only want the very best for my life. So please forgive me and reset my relationship with you. I believe that Jesus came to earth to die for me and reset my life. So I ask him to reset my heart and lead me from this moment on. I'm ready to seize each opportunity that you give me, Lord, to speak up about the grace and love and joy and peace that I found in you. And thanks, God. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for accepting me and receiving me as your child. Lord, I pray for each one of us in this place today, God, that we would be those people who speak up. We don't speak up rudely. We don't speak up boisterously. We speak up gently, respectfully, but assertively, in both love and grace, speaking words of truth. And Lord, I pray that because of that, you will be honored and your kingdom be furthered. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back, if you prayed that first prayer for the first time to accept Jesus as Savior and asking him to reset your heart, if you did that for the first time, whether online or here in person, could you fill in one of those connect cards for me, because I do have some resources I'd love to share, as well as answer any questions you might have. You can put them down there. They're connected to the live stream video, or they're in the seat in front of you, and that'd be great. Thank you for doing that. So next week is our final week, though, in our study on resetting our lives. And next week, we'll learn how God will reset our hands. And then the following week, we will be starting into our Advent series heading into Christmas. And looking forward to that. Give that back to you.